pastorals. All of Paul's writings appear together, going up to Hebrews, starting at Romans, going up to Hebrews. And so there was debate as to whether to include Hebrews. In the end, they decided, yes, it has the authority of God on it. But just before that, you have Timothy, Titus. And they're the only three letters, and Philemon, the only four letters in the whole of the New Testament that are addressed to people particularly. The other ones, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, John is the author of the letter, whereas Timothy is not the author, he's the recipient. And it's Paul writing to Timothy. So, I would like us to look at that. I've given it the general title, Living the Life, Doing the Stuff, because there are two thrusts to it. Paul wants to encourage Timothy in his faith. Come on, Timothy, live the life. What you've learned, put it into practice. Live it out. And if you live it out, the joy will come. And if you live it out, the peace will come. Don't seek happiness. Don't seek fulfillment. And don't seek joy. Seek me. And all of that stuff will come. So live the life, but also do the stuff. And Timothy, in a special way, has been doing the stuff for a while. We'll find that out. But you know, it's the same for us. Live the life, do the stuff. Did you do the stuff this week? Did you build kingdom this week? Did you engage for the gospel this week? Do the stuff, do the stuff. We're not just special people on a Sunday. Do the stuff. So I want to start with that. And let's turn to, first of all, 1 Timothy. Let's find it. And what you could do, it would be quite useful if, over the next few weeks, you were to read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Just get into these books and let them sink in. So first two verses, Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the command of God our Savior and of Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I've titled this sermon Identity, because when we kind of look at particularly these two verses, for me, what it says is your identity, and I think I'm right in this, your identity has much to do with who you are in relationship. Your personal identity has a lot to do with who you are in relationship. And in fact, you guys, you were spot on in the kind of answer you give. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of the King. You expressed your significance in terms of your own relationship. You know, if you try to examine who you are just by self-examination, someone has described it like peeling an onion. That, you take a layer off, and you take a layer off, and you take a layer off, but you end up with nothing inside. But who you are in relationship, and this seems to be where Paul's going. Paul says this is who I am. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. That's who I am. Timothy, this is who you are. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. And when you look at this, the words, they're absolutely packed. And I want to just break some of them down for you in the time that we've got. First of all, and I'll throw a little Greek out for you. Paulos. It's the very first word in the letter. Paulos, not solos. When you meet this man in Acts 9 for the first time, he's solos. in the text. He's Saul. But that's before he knew Jesus. And now he's Paul. Now, he probably had those two names kicking around all his life because he was a Roman citizen and his Roman name would be Paul. But his Jewish name was Saul. And all through Saul's initial life, he identified himself in his Jewish religion. I'm a Pharisee. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. A Pharisee. I'm devout. This is who I am. Until God got a hold of him and said, Paul or Saul, you are mine. I'm not asking you. You are mine. And I have a job for you to do. You're going to reach Gentiles. You're going to reach non-Jews. So forget about Saul. Saul has to do with the old life. Paul has to do with the new life. You are now Paul. So he starts that way. Paulos, apostolos. Paul the apostle. Paul the sent one. Who are you, Paul? I'm a sent one. Do you remember last week we were in John chapter 20 and Jesus was speaking to his disciples and it says he breathed on them. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has apostled me, so I am apostling you. That's who you are this morning. You're a sent one. You know, we all love the fact that we're a loved one. Because that's nice, isn't it? I am loved by God. Oh, cuddly, cuddly. I am loved by God. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a son of God. Oh, fantastic. Think about that. All the glory, all the majesty that belongs to the monarchy is mine because I'm a daughter or a son of the King. And I'm also a son of Father God. Father loves me. That's what Ronnie says all the time. Father loves me. Unconditional love. Wow, that's who I am. Paul says, Paulos apostolos. I'm a sent one. I am loved by God, but I'm a sent one. That's what drives me every day. Remember that book, The Purpose-Driven Church? I am sent. And it's not a burden. It's a privilege. Paulos apostolos. Who sent you, Paul? I am sent by the command of God our Savior. Interesting, only in the pastoral epistles is that phrase used. Everywhere else, it's Jesus our Savior. Because we think of Jesus who came to this earth to die for us. But Paul has a broader concept here. It's God our Savior. It's God the Father. It's God the Son. It's God the Holy Spirit. And because he's matched it up with Jesus in this particular case, he's probably thinking more of God the Father. God the Father, our Savior. He's our Savior God. What kind of a God do you have? We've got a Savior God. And of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our hope. Christ is a Jewish term. It means anointed. It means Messiah. And as a Jew, he's using that phrase. He's been looking for the Christ all through his life. He's now found the Christ. The Messiah, Jesus, is our hope. Do you know you've got eternal life? Do you know that you won't die? Do you know that you'll never end? You will never end. There's a lot of Bible scholars talking about this word, eternal, as though it referred to a quality of life. You know, it's life with a capital L. That's really what it means. But that's not what it means. It's got that element to it. It's got that big element to it. But it's not just about quality. It's about quantity. That's what the rich young ruler was looking for. You know, how do I get eternal life? Life that will go on. Jesus is returning. Why is he returning? Because we are eternal beings. He's coming to take us to be with him forever. That's our hope. And of course, that's our burden as well. Because not everyone is called to eternity. Not everyone has engaged with Father God in the way that he requires. So this is our hope, Jesus Christ, our hope. So who are you, Paul? I'm Paul. I'm a sent one. I'm sent by Savior God. And I'm sent by Jesus Christ, our only hope. And who are you writing to? I'm writing to Timothy. Timothy is a Greek name. He's brought up, according to early Acts and some of the pastoral texts, we know that he was brought up by a Greek father and by a Jewish mother. And his Jewish mother became a Christian. So he's got the Jewish heritage going through his veins, but he's also got Roman culture going through his veins, and now he's got Christian truths going through his veins. And it says in 2 Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now also lives in you. And Timothy, if I'm part of Christ, you're part of me. Elsewhere, he describes Timothy as a brother, because we're all brothers and sisters. But some of our brothers are children. Some of our brothers are fathers. In the way that our lives have turned out. And so some will see others and they'll say, you're not my biological father, but I see you as my spiritual father in Christ. I see you as my spiritual mother. And there are others of us that will say, I see you as my son, and I see you as my daughter. I know you're my brother, but you're my son as well. And it's a term of affection. You are my genuine son. That's what it means. They are my true son. Not true biologically, but in a genuine sense. And interesting, the word for son, there are two words for son. Huios, if you're talking about the Son of God. But this one, technos, which means little child. You're my little kid. You're my little child. It's a term of endearment. In the faith, God makes us family. Take a look around. This is your family. Ellis, this is your family. What do you think of them? Johnny, what do you think? Are you okay? Are there people in this church that annoy you?
Sometimes.
Yeah? But they're family.
That's right.
Are there people that hurt you?
Sometimes.
Yeah, but they're family.
Right.
Sandra, have you ever been offended by anyone in church? You have? Yeah? You can say here, I've been offended loads of times, people in here. I've probably been offended by people in here more than I've been offended by anyone else out of here. But hey, we're family. We're family. Most of us, we take offense. And it's a choice. We might be hurt by what people say, but if we're hurt by what people say, then we need to find healing for that hurt. And it might be by going to that person and trying to resolve it. Or it might be by going to God and saying, God, would you help me to cope with this hurt? But we don't need to take offense. I clock that one. I clock up that offense, and I'm going to hold on to that offense. Let it go. Let it go. We're family. Timothy, you are my son. And then we enter into a blessing. And it's an interesting blessing. Because again, it's unique in the Bible to the pastorals. Everywhere else, Paul says, grace and peace. In the pastorals, grace, mercy, and peace. And what is their relationship to one another? It's God's grace that brings his mercy that creates the peace. It's God's love before the foundation of the world that brings Jesus to be our Savior so that we can be forgiven for our sins. And it's the result of that that brings us peace. From God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now compare that with the verse 2. Because Savior God has become Father God. And Jesus our hope has become Jesus our Lord. Now Jesus our Lord is a dangerous term. Because if Jesus is our Lord, Caesar isn't our Lord. And that's treason. He's not saying Jesus our Christ because he's not writing to Jews. He's writing to Gentiles. Jesus our Lord. And they understand what Lord means. So in conclusion, who are you? You're a sent one. And who do you belong to? You belong to the family of God. And what are you the recipient of? I'm the recipient of grace, mercy, peace. Hey, that's who you are this morning. And when we worship, let's let that sink into us. Who we are in Christ. And let the bitterness and the resentments and the pain and the poverty and anything that's in us, let that go. Let that go. And you may discover when we're worshiping, you might feel you've got a word for someone. Out of this word, you might feel you want to go and minister to someone. Just do it. Just do it. You might feel that what I've said has sparked off something by the Holy Spirit in your heart. Come and share it. That's what that's for. And it works. That's what that's for. So shall we pray? Let's pray.